Romans chapter number 7, find your place in the Word of God. We'll read in just a moment and then bring the message I believe the Lord would have me to this morning. And I do want you to really pray the Lord will help me and bless me and God's will be done. I thought about Brother Frazier. I wish I had me a sign up here that said under construction. The message I'm preaching is still under construction. You preachers know what it is. Sometimes you got to preach your way through some things to really see them. And I know where I'm going. I just got to take a while and get there. But I want you to pray the Lord will help me. 2 weeks ago, as I was thinking about this meeting, God dealt with my heart about this, and I've not got away from it. I really wanted to choose an easier one, but it didn't go that way. I want you to really pray God will help me and use me, and the Lord's will be done. Let's stand together, if you would, preacher. Good to be here with you. Thank the Lord for the privilege. And I'll tell you what, I'm in trouble. I preached along last night over at Brian's. My watch quit. Now, when you preach, your battery runs down. That's time to quit, isn't it? But we had a great service over there last night, and I look forward to this. I've enjoyed these already this morning. A good message from Brother Goolsby, and I guess you'd call it an exhortation that our brother gave us on worship. And, you know, the first time in the Bible that worship's mentioned, there was a sacrifice involved. And we think of worship as getting, but worship is giving. Worship is not receiving, it's giving. Praise and honor and glory to the Lord. Romans chapter number 7. I want to start reading at verse number 12 if you'll turn there in your Bible. And I'm going to read some scripture that is difficult to read, much less preach. Romans chapter 7 verse number 12. The Bible said, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it may appear sin working death in me, that which is good, let me read that verse again. I'm not good at going right. Verse number 13, the Bible said, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin working death in me, but that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Verse 14, the Bible said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But that what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would do, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me under captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now come back to verse number 1. Chapter number 7, verse number 1. The Bible said, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion, listen, over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is freed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law. so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, be ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Keep your Bible open there. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the message for this morning from God's eternal word. Dear Lord, as I bow before you this morning, I confess, Father, I sure do need you today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy and grace upon me. Thank you, Lord, for this special occasion in my own life to be here this morning in this service, to stand in this pulpit one more time, and Lord, to open the Word of God again, and Lord, to give you myself to be used of you to help your people in the study of the Word of God. Thank you again, Father, for what has already been preached. And I pray now, Lord, you help me this morning to say what I need to say. Give me wisdom enough, dear Lord, to speak it clearly. May the Holy Spirit straighten out everything that I leave confused. Your will be done. We'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please. I've seen him this morning with a message for today from the Word of God. I'm going to preach this morning. Brother Sexton, please don't run me off. I'm going to preach this morning on my two marriages. Now, I want to say to start with, I am a scriptural qualified man of God. I am the husband of one wife. Come on, you can say, man, the reason I read that last part first, I knew you'd die when I read that about divorce. You see how quiet it got? I was watching, I did. But I'm still married to the same woman. And I plan on staying there till death do us part. Amen, that's your commitment. Don't die on me. I'm not preaching on divorce and remarriage, but I just want to clear the air on that. But I want to preach on my two marriages. And for your information, I've got another one coming. But in the Bible, we have in this chapter two marriages that every believer experiences. If I could say it this way, there was a time that I was married to a fellow who had two names. His name is Mr. Law and Mr. Death. But then I said, not the divorce, but thank God I got rid of him. And now then, I'm free to marry a second person. And now then, I'm married to Mr. Grace. Yeah. Amen, brother. Yeah. Are you with me? I'm taking my time because I know this is a little bit unusual beginning. But I want to say to you, and everybody, every one of us, because of our first birth, we're married to the law of sin and death. But about the second birth, we're married to the law of grace, the law of spirit of life. Are you following me? So, I want to deal with this, and I hope God will help us understand it. I hope he helps me understand enough to say it right for you. And you get it when, as God gives it to you today. But I want to dive in. I got a lot of material, and I want to just really dive in and get through as much as I can. I want to make one statement again that I just made. By the first birth, every one of us was married to the law of sin and death. In the Bible typology, are you with me? Yes, every one of us was. There never was a time, preacher, that I chose law and death and said, I'm going to marry him. I was born that way. I was born of the flesh. I was born of a sinful nature. And because of that sinful nature, law took dominion over me. He was a husband, I was a bride, and so he looked at me. But I want to look at several things. First of all, I want you to notice the description of this man, Mr. Law. What kind of fella is this Mr. Law that I was married to? Are you ready? We read in the Word of God where the Bible said in verse number 7, the Bible said, what should we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. So I'm going to say, first of all, Mr. Law was sinless. Number two, the Bible said, verse number 12, for the law is holy and just and good. Verse number 14, the Bible said, the law is spiritual. Now look at me just a moment. So the Bible said, the law is not sin. The law is holy. The law is just. The law is good. The law is spiritual. That's that first man, the law, that I was married to. And that's a description the Bible gives us concerning him. He's holy, he's just, he's good, he's spiritual, and there's nothing wrong. Hang on. There's nothing wrong with my first husband, Mr. Law. I like the looks I'm getting because I know at least I got you thinking. Stay with me. Let's move on. Not only there is the description of the law, but second, there's the dominion of the law. Now stay with me. Come with me. He's the husband. I was the wife. Can I get an amen? In that marriage relationship, he's the husband. I was the wife. Now, since he's the husband and I'm the wife, I'm married to him, so he has dominion over me. He takes a position of husband. That means, are you ready? I am to submit to him. I am to honor him. I am to obey him. I'm to be thankful or faithful and true to him. I'm to strive to fulfill his every desire. Are you with me? You see, the law was holy, just, good, no sinful, and spiritual. And I was not so. He takes a position as husband. I take the position of bride, of the bride. And so I'm to be submitted to him. I'm to be submitted to the law. I'm to obey the law. I'm to honor the law. I'm to be faithful to the law. I'm to strive to fulfill it. Number three. There's not only the description of the law, not in the dominion of the law, but there's the demands of the law. You know what the law says to me? I want you to be just like me. I said, wait a minute, do you know what that means? He said, I want you to be holy. I want you to be just. I want you to be good. I want you to be without sin. I want you to be spiritual. But I'm not that way. I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin. I'm leaving you in the dark. I stay with me now. Let me go. Matter number four. There's a deliverance from the law. We saw the description. We saw the description. We saw the dominion. We saw the demand. But there's deliverance. And here's what I want to say. How in the world can I get out under this brutal husband of mine that's holy, just, good, and spiritual, and demands that I be just like him, and I can't do it? And I say to you in the context of the verses here, divorce won't work. I'm talking about the spiritual, what I'm talking about. Divorce won't work. You know, Brother Sexton, I'm afraid that many church members come to the altar and divorce their sin. They don't die to them, they divorce them. I see this and I set respect for it. I'm not trying to be offended. Nobody, I don't know anybody here's marital situation, preacher. But I know this right, all these years of preaching, divorce never solves a problem. It creates another one. It creates another. And you come to the altar and you divorce your sin, and then they raise back up. The deliverance, the Bible said in verse number 2, for the woman is bound, which hath a husband, is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, She's loose from the law of her husband. Verse 3, so then while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law. That so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another. Now look at me just a moment. I'm talking about this first marriage. Me, married to Mr. Law and Mr. Death. And again, I want to emphasize, the answer is not divorce. The answer is death. Somebody got to die. Somebody got to die. Now, I wish I was preaching where you could just shout and come on with me, but I think God will help us if you'll come with me through this before we get through. But listen to me. Mr. Law is not going to die. Amen. Mr. Law is not going to die. So I am bound by law till death to stay with him, to honor him, to obey him, to please him, to serve him. Divorce will not work. There's got to be a death. Now then, let's move to the other side of the story. We saw the description of him. I'm going to look at the description of me. You remember the law is holy and just and good and spiritual? Righteous? Let me tell you about me. In verse number 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. What that says, I know what I need to do. I know what ought to do. But for some reason, unexplainable, I don't do it. I'm talking about my flesh, my old nature. My old nature does not bow to the authority of the law. It rebels against the law. My nature does not submit to the lordship of the law. It rejects it. It rebels against it. And so what I would do, I don't do. You see, as a saved person, we need to get this in. As a saved person, we are saved beings living in unsaved bodies. And by the way, the spiritual battles the fleshly, and the battleground is the mind. So, then he said in verse number 17, verse number 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent that the law is good. I consent under the law that it is good. So he goes down there and talks about himself. And he said in verse number 14, he talks about, not only the description, verse number 14, he talks about the defects in me. I'm carnal. Now can I say this? I've been around Baptists long enough. I know one of the hardest things in the world for we Baptist giants to admit there's still some carnality about us. I got a couple of preacher brethren and they're good men of God. Brother Jackson, they will not admit they're carnal, and I just delight in getting around them talking about how carnal I am. You know, really, after you're saved, you become a me-me. A double person. Spiritual, fleshly. New man, old man. Can I get an amen there? Now let me show you what happens in my life. The new man said, boy, I got to get up early and go pray. And the old man said, not so. I believe it's Jason Lord Baxter said that he heard a message one time and God spoke to his heart about it. And so he said, I've got to get up every morning early and go pray. And he said, I've got to get up and go pray. Said, I had a little problem with Will dragging him out of bed, but finally he said, I will go. But he said, emotion said, y'all can go pray if you want to, but I'm not going. And he said, knowledge got up and will and went to pray, but emotion stayed in the bed. But he said, I know they're supposed to, knowledge. I will do what was right, so I kept on doing it. He said, I got down there and got to praying and got hooked up with God, knowledge, knowing God, and willing to obey God. And said, all of a sudden, I heard somebody come skipping through the leaves, through the woods, and I looked around and said, here come emotion, shouting it out. I want to read my Bible. I hate study. It's weird to the flesh. I like good heart preaching. Why does he have to be so mean? Both of them are there. That's me. That's that double person that I am when I'm saved. I'm a saved being, but I still live in an unsaved body. Now notice the third thing. There's not only the description of me, the defects of me, but there's a defeat of me. Now look at me just a moment. I'll be brief here. I need to be. Look at me just a moment. You know what? I come to this conclusion, Brother Frazier. I absolutely cannot please Mr. Law. Try as hard as I may, he's never satisfied with what I do. I cannot please him. Neither can you. There's not only the description of me, there's a defect of me, there's a defeat of me, but there's a downfall of me. I want to please him, but I cannot. By the way, no one ever outside of Christ ever pleased the law. Amen. You see, I read a poem years ago. The poem said, the writer said, do the law demands, but gives me neither arms nor hands. Let me illustrate just a moment. I have a broom up here. Everybody see my broom? Here's law. Law said, broom, sweep the floor. Demand. Broom, sweep the floor. Broom, I said, sweep the floor. If that broom could talk, you know what it'd say? I can't sweep the floor. I'd say, coat, get off of that rail and get outside to my car. Not lost my senses now. Stay with me. You see, you and I are as hopeless as this broom is, and pleasing God through the law, we cannot do it. Just like that colt cannot move, we cannot please God after the flesh. It's not in us. There's a description of me. The effects of me, defeat of me, downfall of me. But finally, there's the deliverance of me. I said to you a while ago, I'm married to law, to law, till one of us dies and he's not going to die. Do you know what my deliverance is? I come to the place that I hate him. I'm in bondage to him. I want out of this marriage. But is there any hope? Divorce will not work. Death is the only way out. So, Brother Steve, since the law is not going to die, the only hope is that I die. And now we're fixing it where we can get a little bit of relaxing here. But Christ came and died, and I died in him to the law. And when I died in Christ, law has no more dominion over me. I'm set free from my marriage to that first wicked, evil husband called the law of sin and death. But if I die to the law and that's all of it, what hope do I have yet? What's going to happen to me? That brings me to my second part. Now, I'll be brief on this. I like this clock that don't run. I can just keep preaching. Watch it don't run. What is my hope? When I died, my marriage to Mr. Law came to an end. Amen? I'm now free to marry him who not only died in me and him, but raised from the dead and gave me new life. I'm calling his name Mr. Grace. Now remember I said to you a while ago, the law is demanding, the law is just, it's good, it's spiritual, and it demands I be just like it. But all of a sudden, I'm introduced to this new man, Mr. Grace. When I look at him, he's loving. He's gentle. He's kind. He's understanding. He's caring. He is good. He is enabling. And on, the list goes. Now watch me. Here's the difference in law and grace. I said to you a moment ago, law says to this broom, sweep. And the broom stands here as if to say, I can't. The law says to the coat, get up and walk out of here and go to the car. Let me give you another. Borrow your imagination. I like this. I didn't have one. Everybody see my, I want you to see an invisible glove. You see an invisible glove laying up here? The law says, glove, shut up like a fist. Glove, work. And the glove has no response, not because it's rebellious, because it does not have the ability. And my flesh and your flesh does not have the ability to please God. You know what Mr. Grace done? While the law is standing back saying, sweep, 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 Grace reaches over and takes the broom in his hand and starts sweeping. Amen. Grace slips itself in my coat and enables my coat to get up off of that and get on my body, and then this coat now will go wherever I go. Can I say it? Wherever grace wants me to go, he takes me. Whatever the needs are, grace supplies. I'm glad, thank God, I don't have an outside law standing there saying, do this, do this, do this. But thank God this new husband of mine moved into me. He lives inside me and enables me to do what he tells me to do. With that glove, law says move. It doesn't move, but grace slides a hand in it. Grace enables us to do what we could not do in and of ourselves. Now I want to bring this thing to a close, but I want you to listen to me. There's a description of Mr. Grace. There's the delights of Mr. Grace. Grace gets into my coat and enables it to move. Grace takes hold of the broom and enables it to sweep. Grace works through me the ability in that glove to work and to serve him. I want you to hear me. If we're not careful, we let this old law keep ruling over our life, demanding the impossible, bringing defeat. But oh, if we can ever realize that we're dead to him. We're married to another. And this another whom we're married to, can I say, slips himself inside us, thereby enabling us to do. And we can take Romans 6 and verse number 12 and say, do not let sin reign in your body. We can take verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. I'm saying you sin died. It did not get divorced. It died. And the law, sin and death, has died. And I'm married to another, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, here's my devoted life to Mr. Grace. He demands, the demands that Mr. Law gave produced hatred and rebellion in my heart. But the devotion of Mr. Grace produced surrender and obedience in my heart. I want to give you two things, and I'm going to close with this in just about 2 hours. But I'm going to give you these two things. I probably have used this as much as I use you, but I want to be very practical. I want to be real, real open. Brother Sexton, forgive me if I'm too plain, but I hate school zones. Anybody here like school zones? I'm driving down the road doing about, well, ain't none of your business. I'm driving down the road and there's your little flashing line says 15 mile an hour. I hate it. You know what I usually do, Brother Harvey? I look down the road to see if I can see a blue light special. I look in my rearview mirror to see if I can see one back there. Now, y'all forgive me a minute. I'll get past this. And Brother Lockhart, if I don't see a blue light special, I'd probably go through at 16. Maybe 17. I'm not counting any higher. You know what you can do? Change the signs to 85 miles an hour. Brother Frazier, put one of them little small grandchildren of yours out there on that middle line, center line. Put a priest on each side. Most, come on there, come on there. 15's not bad. 10's not bad. Dead stop's not bad. You see, love produces surrender and submission. Law produces rebellion. The reason so many people have such a hard time living right, preacher, is they're doing it because of law. And law produces rebellion, but love produces obedience, submission, surrender. And so we find that God changes us inside us. And we're doing it now not because the law said we have to, but because we love Him. I read a story about a lady who married this man, and he was a very brutal husband. And he didn't like the way she did things. In fact, he wasn't concerned about the way she wanted to. He wanted to do everything his way. Brother Sexton, every morning before he went to work, he would leave her a list. She had a Monday list, a Tuesday list, Wednesday list, Thursday list, Friday list. And every afternoon he'd come home from work, and he wouldn't check the list. Did you do it? Did you do it? Did it? And she got worse. She despised him and the list. Anything she knew was on that list, she just willingly, deliberately didn't do it because he's trying to make her. Her husband died. Some years later, she married another man. A loving, gentle husband. One day while cleaning the house, she was going through some chest of drawer things, and she found one of them old lists. And she pulled it out and looked at it. First she got mad just remembering them, and then she looked at it again, preacher, and she started smiling. Without ever looking at a list now, she was doing everything on the list. Love produces surrender. Law produces rebellion. If you only live right because you got to, you're going to be a miserable person. But if you fall in love with Him, can I say this? And you know I'm not against standards, please, everybody knows that. But you get where you ought to be with God, and you don't have to have a list of do's and don'ts to govern your Christian life. You'll do it because you love Him and you want to please Him. Paul cries out, and I close with this, in verse number 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And he answers it in verse number 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Then he said, "So then with my mind I will serve the law of God, but with my flesh the law of sin." And if we live to the will of God, we're going to serve God. If we live to the flesh, we're going to do that. But now, don't let the chapter break. Stop. Look at verse number 8. Here's our position. Now, chapter 8, verse number 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation." Or that condemnation of the law and of sin and death is gone. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which walk, which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Look at verse number 2. "For the law," here's what happened, "for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Now, I know you've probably heard this story. I had a true experience that happened right over here at the airport at Tyson years ago when I was pastoring in Jacksonboro in 1976. I got a call, Brother Sexton, from a pastor in Colorado Springs, and the call went something like this. He said, "Brother Blue," and I said, "Yes." And he said, "You don't know me. I don't know you, but I've heard of you. I need a revival. Can you come to Colorado Springs and preach a meeting?" And I said, "If I can get it in my schedule, I'd be glad to." And he named the dates, and I'd had a cancellation 3 days before for that same week. He said, "Now this is odd. I want you out here the second week in February, and we ought to have 2 foot of snow. But God said that's a week to have a meeting. So let's trust God." Well, then they got down, and we kept talking. Then Brother Stevie said this to me. He said, "Now, if you want to leave Wednesday night after service or Thursday morning, drive, bring your family. We'll just make a vacation out of it. We'll pay all expenses for you out here and back. But if you don't, but you'll have to miss 2 Sundays. But he said, if you don't do that, then you'll have to fly." Brother Sexton, I said, "I don't want to be away 2 Sundays, so I'll fly." while we were on the phone, we made the rest of the arrangements, hung up. While we were on the phone, Brother Steve, the mailman run. Well, you know, if you're in evangelism, you always look. I still pastor him, but still look for the mail to come in. And so, Brother Harvey, I went out there. The front porch was just a little bit higher than this. And Brother Section, I went out there and just kind of glided off the porch like this, going to the mailbox. And about the time I did, something went off in my mind, that S word went off in my mind, and said, "Stupid! You can't fly! You just told that man you would fly, and you cannot fly! And by the way, you can't either. You know why we can't fly? Tennessee hillbilly language? There's a log in it! It's called the law of gravity. Every time you jump up, gravity said, come back here! I got my tickets, got everything ready, time schedule, you know. Brother Lockhart, I came right over here to Tyson. Is it McGee Tyson? That's what it is. Airport over there, Brother Bud. And I got on a plane that couldn't fly. There's not an airplane sitting over there that can fly in and of itself. You know why? There's a log in it. If you go over there, Brother Sexton, every plane over there sitting flat on the ground. And you can't even pick them up. We got on that plane, drove down the other end of the runway, got clearance from the air tower, and all of a sudden that pilot revved up those jet engines, and a new law called the law of aerodynamics took over. Gravity's still there, saying, you can't fly, you can't fly, you can't fly. But that pilot revved those engines. We got down the runway, and it pulled back on that lever, and we soared in the sky, and gravity's still out there, still saying, you can't fly. But a new law, stronger than the old law, is now in operation, and I did fly. The old law of sin and death said, you can't live right. You can't live right. You can't live right. You can't live right. But in verse number 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You know what? By the grace of God, the law of sin and death still cries out, you can't live right, you can't live right. And all I got to say is, watch me. It's not me doing it, but he that is in me, he who I'm now married to, enables me to live right in a world that is wrong. I'm saying to you, when we are saved by the grace of God, and actually it happened at Calvary, we died to the law of sin and death. We're resurrected in Christ. And we now live by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. And can I say this and I close? I sure do love my last husband. Grace. The Spirit of life. I love him. I'm glad I'm no longer in bondage to the law of sin and death. Because if it were, preacher, even after I'm saved, I couldn't please the law. Nobody in here can. But you see, I'm married to one who is the head of me and the head of his household, and he's already pleased the law. And I'm in him. I'm in him. Sister Frazier, I thought about a moment ago. I saw you sitting there. And I've been married, and I've been married 52 years, so I know a little bit about married life. But all the spiritual blessings as a pastor's wife you enjoy, not because of who you are, but because of who you're married to. Right? If you were not married to a preacher, you would not enjoy the blessing of being a pastor's wife. But everything that he gets in on, it's your blessing too. Right? I'm telling you, I don't deserve what I'm in on. I would never give it if I wasn't married to him. But since I'm married to him, everything that happens in his life and is accomplished in him, I'm in on it. I'm part of it. I am married to him. I'm saying to you, my friend, that when you're saved, you die out to sin and death. But you're made alive in Christ. And it's taught in the Bible here as a new marriage. And the man we're now married to has grace. He's just. He's good. He's honest. He's understanding. He's kind. He's lovely. And on and on we can go. He's the Lord of my life. Well, all I can say is, Selah, think on these things. Ponder them. I hope you see a little bit what I'm talking about. It's not divorce. We didn't just give up sin. We died to sin. We did not just give up the old life. We died to it. And we're made a new creature. And we're married to another, the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, come on. I'm through, brother. God bless you.
Page 127 in your red back hymnal. Let's stand and stretch ourselves a little bit.